out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 1st of February 2019. We're into February already and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we're going to be taking a look at Holocaust news today. We talked about it briefly earlier this week. In actual fact, there's been two instances of the Holocaust coming up this week. There was a video released in Russia to do with the news story that Dr. Johnson was talking about the other week about this historical researcher who was researching the number of Jews that died during the war. I believe it was the Chabad-Lubavitcher in the area. The area was called Perm. And they used the anti-Nazification law, the rehabilitation of Nazis law in Russia, to try and prosecute this guy for Holocaust denial, and they failed. And it was determined that historical research is outside of this remit of this law. But by the time it failed, it had actually stirred up a large portion of the population in Perm against the Jews for doing this, for persecuting this guy. And there's a video released of all these Zoomers talking about how they believe in the Holocaust just because they need something to believe in. And the Jews counted every dead Jew in the war, and it came to exactly 6 million. And of course, the Russians, they weren't able to count the people that died in the war. They don't know how many people died in the war, but these clever Jews, somehow they were able to count each one, and it came to exactly 6 million. And of course, they don't want to be arrested for denying the Holocaust. So they've made this video reaffirming that they believe in the 6 million number, not a Jew less and not a Jew more than 6 million. And that when they have their march, where they carry the pictures of the marchers that died in the war, they're going to carry pictures of dead Jews instead of dead Russians, because they certainly don't want to be prosecuted for Holocaust denial. It's a very, very funny video. I think YouTube have already taken it down. But it just goes to prove everything that Dr. Johnson was talking about how Holocaust denial is seen in Russia. It's mainstream. I mean, these weren't nationalists. These weren't Holocaust revisionists. These are just normal Russian kids that made this video. It's very funny anyway, and it's in the comments section on one of the Daily Nationalists earlier this week. I think Fritz posted it in there. But we've got some more Holocaust news today, and this really concerns the way that the Jews see the Holocaust as a unique event that nobody else is allowed to have a genocide. Only the Holocaust can be seen as a genocide. And this was a unique suffering that they have to do all they can to prevent any other group of people claiming to have been genocided. And also shows the way that the Jews see themselves as being above everybody else. They see everybody else as not being worth the fingernail of a Jew, is one of the quotes from the Talmud. And this news report actually comes from the Jerusalem Post. "The Holodomor is definitely not a genocide," said Zuroff, the head of the Jerusalem office of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko's request that Israel recognize the Holodomor, the man-made famine in the Soviet Union in 1932 to 1933, was unbelievable, and an effort to promote a double genocide theory, Ephraim Zhurov said on Tuesday. And that just shows you that they want the Jews dying in World War II to be the only genocide. They cannot possibly allow anybody else to claim that they were genocided. Quite clearly, the Ukrainians were genocided. They were starved to death. Far more of them died than Jews did during the war. And of course, we have questions about just how many Jews did die in the war. It looks like it was about 250,000, according to the Red Cross. There's no evidence that any of them were gassed, but that isn't really the subject today. If we take it as the Jews were actually killed, there were actually 6 million of them killed, then why is it that they won't acknowledge that this has ever happened to anybody else? Why is it a double genocide theory? And it's not a theory to say that the Ukrainians were killed by starvation. That's a fact of history. And yet, according to Ephraim Zhurov, that is just a theory. And to accept it means that you're accepting that there were two genocides. And of course there were two genocides. There have been many genocides in the last century. There was the Rwandan one as well, where millions of Rwandans were killed. There was the Armenian genocide. And later on in this article, we realise that one of the reasons why they don't want this is because they know that Jews were involved in doing the genociding. That's why they can't allow Ukraine to be classified as a genocide. Poroshenko made his request during a meeting with Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein on Monday. He also referenced the famine that killed millions of Ukrainians during comments he made at Yad Vashem. Well, that's completely unforgivable, isn't it? To be at a Holocaust meeting and mention another group of people that were killed. You can only mention the Jews that were killed when it's a Holocaust day. And this is what Porky Poroshenko had to say. Ukraine, as a state that suffered from the Holodomor of 1932 to 1933, when millions of Ukrainians were tortured by the communist Stalinist regime that committed genocide against the Ukrainian people, reverently keeps the memory of the Holocaust victims alive as well, he said. Now, how could you be any more reasonable than that? I mean, what he is saying is, we suffered, so we understand what it means to suffer, and therefore we empathise with you. But the Jews are furious about this. They're absolutely furious. The Ukrainians' suffering doesn't matter at all to them. It pales in comparison as far as Jews' suffering. The Holodomor is definitely not a genocide, said Zhurov, the head of the Jerusalem office of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Stalin decided he wanted to eliminate the kulaks, the private farmers, and get them all into collective farms and totally change the nature of agriculture in Ukraine. Zhurov said Stalin's forced collectivization applied to everyone and was not solely directed at Ukrainians. Well, let's just have a look at what the definition of genocide is. This comes from Wikipedia. Article 2 of the convention defines genocide as any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. So if what this Ephraim Zhurov is saying is that this isn't a genocide because it wasn't all of the Ukrainians. It was also basically, it was the kulaks. So it was some Ukrainians, it was some Russians, whatever. It's still a genocide because the definition is that it's either in whole or in part. So if it's just a part of them, that's still the same. And an intent to destroy, is he saying there was no intent to destroy that? Is he claiming that Stalin didn't realize that by starving people, you would kill them? You can't say that there was no intent to destroy a part of the Ukrainian population, quite clearly there was. Continuing with the convention, Article 2 of the Convention on Genocide, it says these are the acts which can be considered genocide. A, killing members of the group. Well, that's exactly what happened. B, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Starving is serious body and mental harm. C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Again, it fulfills that one as well. Imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Well, obviously, you're not going to be able to raise children when there's no food, and when you're being sent to the gulag and killed if you do try to save any of the crops. E, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. Well, that didn't happen, I don't think. So you've got four of the acts which actually define genocide being committed by the Soviets against the Ukrainians. Yet Ephraim Zurov says that this wasn't a genocide. Ukrainians were the largest number of victims, but it wasn't directed against them. It wasn't a plan to eliminate the Ukrainian people, he said. There were Jews who died from the hunger, as did Belarusians and Russians. Stalin used force to get people into his system, but he was not trying to exterminate the Ukrainians. That is absurd. The largest number of victims were Ukrainians, but it was not genocide. Well, it doesn't matter if it wasn't all the Ukrainians or it wasn't specifically directed at the Ukrainians. If just a large part of them in part died, then it was a genocide. And you can't say that there was no intention to eliminate these people. That's what happens when you starve people. They die. Continuing, there is, however, scholarly debate about the matter, with some arguing that Stalin's policies were aimed at snuffing out Ukrainian national aspirations. Ukraine and some 15 other countries, including Australia, Canada, Mexico, and Colombia, recognized the Holodomor as genocide carried out against the Ukrainian people by the Soviet government. Five other countries have recognized it as a criminal act of the Stalinist regime. Zhurov called on Israel not to recognize Holodomor as genocide because if everything is genocide, nothing is. If everyone is guilty, no one is guilty, he said. So basically what he's saying is that this trivializes the Jewish genocide. We can't possibly have anybody else being genocided because then the Jews' genocide isn't extra special. So what are they saying there? Are they saying that they are superior humans to everybody else? Of course that's what they're saying. Of course that's what they're saying. The Jews are supremacists. They do think of themselves as being far superior to everybody else, and they don't understand why the rest of the world don't see that, and don't automatically do everything that the Jews tell them to do. They just don't understand. They don't understand why Gentiles are critical of them. They have to come out with this idea that anti-Semitism is some kind of mind virus. It's just some kind of madness that Gentiles get, that they suddenly don't like what the Jews are doing to them. They don't understand it. Continuing, one of the biggest problems we are facing now is something called the double genocide theory, something prevalent throughout Eastern Europe, where governments are trying to say that communist crimes amounted to genocide, he said. They were not. If they were, then that means the Jews committed genocide, and that's the reason for it. I mean, he's admitting here that communism was Jewish, and of course, if you admit that communism killed what is supposed to have killed 100 million people, then that's saying that the Jews did that. So this is the real reason why they can't accept that this was a genocide, because they were the ones doing the genociding. And of course, then people understand why there was an animosity against the Jews. Now, this is in a Jewish news site meant for Jews to read. So, of course, they admit here that the Jews were the Soviets. You won't find that in the mainstream media, none of them will admit that the Soviet Union was run by Jews. You have to read nationalist literature, such as David Duke's book, to understand that. Continuing here, there were Jews, not out of any loyalty to the Jewish people, and usually Jews who had left the Jewish community, who worked in the KGB, in the communist security apparatus, and did horrible things. It's true. So what is he saying there? These Jews weren't Jews? No, they were Jews. They may have left the Jewish religious community, because a lot of them were atheists, but they were still carrying out the Talmud. They were still carrying out the instructions that the Jews are to take over the world and have the Gentiles as their slaves. And that's basically what the Soviet Union was. It was Jews using the Gentiles as their slaves, killing them, starving them, taking all their property in fulfillment of Talmudic prophecy. And one of the main things they did was to make anti-Semitism a capital offense. If you criticized what was going on, then you were executed. And of course, when people fought back against them, they were fighting against the communists. That's who they were fighting against. But it gets reported that these people were attacking Jews. They were attacking Jews. They were killing Jews. So when the Jews have been accused of carrying out these horrific attacks against the Gentiles, you've got this head of the Simon Wiesenthal Center saying, well, they weren't loyal to the Jewish people and they'd left the Jewish community. And yet when we are looking at Jews that died in the war because they were communist partisans or they were communist terrorists, then they suddenly become Jews. Then it suddenly becomes attack on these people simply because they were Jewish. So you've got a double standard there. He talks about a double genocide. Well, you've got a complete double standard in the way that this subject is discussed. The pernicious subtext of this argument, he said, is that if Jews committed genocide, then what right do they have to complain against the genocide committed in Eastern Europe during the Holocaust by people who collaborated with the Nazis? And what was the collaboration in Eastern Europe with the Nazis? Well, it was collaboration to liberate Eastern Europe from communism. And it wasn't just Eastern Europe either. There was the Waffen-SS that was made up of units from every country in Europe that went to fight on the Eastern Front to prevent Bolshevism taking over Western Europe. They were fighting against communists. Yet what he is saying here is this fighting against communists, that was a genocide against Jews. So literally, in the same quote, you've got him doing both those things. You've got him saying that the Jews that were in amongst communism, they had left the Jewish community. Somehow they weren't Jews. And yet pretty much almost in the same sentence, he's then blaming Eastern Europe for committing a genocide against the Jews when Eastern Europe fought against communism. Incredible that he can hold both these opposing positions in the same, pretty much in the same quote. Zhurov said that communist crimes should not be characterized as genocide because the communists did not want to wipe a people off the face of the earth. Well, what were they expecting starving the Ukrainians to do? What do they think? Removing all the grain, stealing all the farms, stealing all the farm machinery, taking all the harvest from them. What effect did they expect that to have on the Ukrainian people? And this didn't just happen once. This happened two or three times. I think the best study that was done on the Holodomor was done by William Fink over at Christoginia. He did a couple of programs really going into great detail on the three different instances of this deliberate starvation of the Ukrainian people. It wasn't just this one that happened in 33-34. Do check that out. Continuing with this article, Zhurov said, it was not ethnically oriented. It was economically and politically oriented. These were crimes against a particular class of people like the kulaks, or against political opponents. Zhurov asserted this was not, he said, an effort to destroy a people. But the kulaks and the political opponents, they were Gentiles. Jews have never been farmers. Is he saying that there were Jews among the kulaks, or there were Jews among the political opponents in the Soviet Union? There were no Jews among them. The Jews were elevated to a position of power in the Soviet Union. Their synagogues were protected while the churches were destroyed. The top communists used to speak in Yiddish. They didn't used to speak in Russian. The communist newspaper used to come out in Yiddish. That's how Jewish the movement was. And of course they wanted to kill the Gentiles. What was sending them all off to the gulags in Siberia all about then? It wasn't about trying to get them to build things, because they just starved them. I mean, this was part of the psychological torture for these Gentiles that were put in the gulags. The fact that they weren't actually doing anything. The whole point of the exercise was just evil for evil's sake. They would get them to do absolutely pointless things and starve them with rations just so that they slowly died of a torture without actually being used for anything. This is, and this can be extended to everything that happened in the USSR. I mean, look at what happened at the end of it. The country was in absolute poverty. Everything had just been wasted and destroyed because the purpose of it was just to destroy the Gentiles. And that's what happened. And what happened in Ukraine is just a concentrated instance of it. It was a genocide. But the reason the Jews don't want it classed as a genocide is because they know they were the ones responsible for it. And this is why another of the reasons why they have to hold up the Holocaust myth so much. They have to claim that they were genocided. So it's not just us that were doing the genociding. We were genocided as well. That will be the next one. Once the Holodomor gets accepted and people realize that it was the Jews, then they've got this fallback, haven't they? They can say, oh yes, but we were genocided as well by the Germans. So it's not such a bad thing. But at the moment, they are still trying to prevent the Ukrainian starvation being classed as a genocide. Israel, Zhurov said, has not stood up strongly enough in the face of this type of Holocaust distortion in Eastern Europe. According to Zhurov, Israel's leaders should be telling guests from Eastern Europe, "We appreciate our new friendship with you. We are not blaming you for any crimes. It is your grandparents who committed the crimes. But this is simply unacceptable." Well, what about if the East Europeans were to say that to the Jews then? We blame your grandparents for these crimes. And this is what Porky Poroshenko is saying. He's not saying that the Jews were responsible for starving the Ukrainians. He's just saying it was a genocide that was committed by the Soviets. So once again, the Jews expect other people to behave in one way while they themselves behave in a way that is completely opposite. Zhurov also took Israel's leadership to task for not publicly calling out the Ukrainian president for his country's turning people who killed Jews into national heroes. In fact, on the day Poroshenko was in Israel, a plaque was dedicated to Simon Petliura on a street in Kiev bearing his name. Well, these, again, when are you saying there, these people who killed Jews, these were people that fought back against the communists. They fought back against the communists. They weren't just killing Jews for the sake of it. They were fighting back against the people that had been starving them. Petliura was the commander of the Ukrainian army and president during Ukraine's short-lived sovereignty from 1918 to 1921, when some 35,000 to 50,000 Jews were killed in pogroms. Well, look at that time. That's the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. They were trying to put down the Sovietization of the Ukraine. Of more than 1,200 pogroms during this period, nearly 500 were carried out by soldiers under Petliura's command. He also said that Ukraine has made heroes out of Ukrainian nationalists such as Stepan Bandera and Roman Shukovich, who collaborated with the Nazis in the mass murder of Jews during the initial months of the Nazi invasion. Well, what they are calling an invasion, the Ukrainians saw as liberation. They welcomed the National Socialist soldiers with flowers. You can see it in Dennis Wise's documentary. They weren't seen as Nazi invaders. They were Nazi liberators. They were freeing the country from the Bolsheviks, who had been torturing the people, starving the people, sending them off to the gulag. Righteous revenge was carried out by the Eastern Europeans on their persecutors when the National Socialists came in. The same happened in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. The National Socialists were welcomed as liberators. And right up until the end, they were fighting against the communists, fighting to delay the Red Army from coming into Eastern Europe so that as many people could get out of Eastern Europe as possible. And it's these heroes that the people in Eastern Europe are recognizing. And it was even determined at the Nuremberg trials that the people that joined up for the Waffen-SS from Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia, that they didn't actually fight against the Allies. They just fought on the Eastern Front against the Red Army. And they were absolved of any war crimes. And yet, according to these Jews, they were collaborating with Nazis in the mass murder of Jews. They weren't. They were defending their country against the Red Army and helping to liberate their country from communism that had invaded and just taken the place over, and was doing the same that they did to the Ukraine. Zhurov lamented that we didn't say a word to Poroshenko about anti-Semitism on the day they put a plaque up for Petliura. Instead, he said, President Reuven Rivlin praised Poroshenko for strong words and actions against anti-Semitism in Ukraine. There has not been a single conviction in Ukraine against a person who committed anti-Semitism, Zhurov said. This is ridiculous. Talk about fake news. So again, all he's concerned about is criticism of the Jews. That's what this can be boiled down to. That's why he doesn't want the genocide in the Ukraine to be identified as that, because he's worried that people will then realize that the people responsible for that were the Jews as the Soviet commissars, and once again people will criticize the Jews for it. That's all anti-Semitism is. It's pointing out crimes that the Jews have carried out. No other people in the world are protected from criticism like that. You would think that in places like Britain, places like America, if we're going to have any laws against people being criticized, it would be the British people. You would think we would make laws that foreigners could not criticize us in our own home. But no, we make laws to prevent people from criticizing Jews. What does that say about our leadership? Who do you think is in charge of our countries when we have laws preventing us from criticizing foreigners? And the foreigners can criticize us as much as they like. These laws don't benefit us. And laws are meant to be in place to benefit the country that makes them, not benefit foreign nations. That should be a real wake-up call to people. And the reason why people don't realize it is just because the media and the education system just makes it all seem as if it's so natural to have laws against anti-Semitism. It's not natural. What's natural is being opposed to Semitism. What's wrong with being opposed to usury, pornography, homosexuality, the rule of foreigners? What's wrong with being opposed to all of that? What's wrong with pointing out the people that are promoting it? Yes, it is wrong to use violence to attack people. Yes, it is wrong to attack private property, but there's nothing wrong in warning your people about a threat that is posed by another people. There's nothing wrong in that at all. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan.